If you would, take your Bibles with me this morning and turn back to the book of Ruth. We are going to continue our series on the book of Ruth as we look at the Christmas story in the book of Ruth. And I know that Ruth is in the Old Testament and the Christmas story is in the New Testament, but there are a lot of parallels between them. For those of you that maybe haven't been with us the last few weeks, let me catch you up to where we are. We have Ruth and Naomi. They left Moab, and they're going back to Bethlehem. Naomi's husband has passed away, and her two sons have passed away. And Ruth, her daughter-in-law, goes back to Bethlehem with her. And we see Ruth making this tremendous statement of faith. And the book of Ruth is about this young woman and her tremendous amount of faith and her commitment to God, where she travels back to Bethlehem, and she eventually will give birth to a child who would change the world. And we looked at the Christmas story and how the Christmas story is partially about a young woman named Mary who makes a radical commitment of faith, and she travels to Bethlehem and gives birth to a child who will change the world. And then we saw in chapter 2 last week where we see Joseph in the Christmas story being a righteous man, and we see Boaz here in the book of Ruth being a righteous man, and he offers kindness and protection and provision to a young woman in a time of need. And this week we're going to learn that the book of Ruth is also a story about a kinsman redeemer, and we're going to look into a little more about a kinsman redeemer and what that looks like. And really, this is what Christmas is all about. Ruth needed a redeemer, and so do we. We need someone who will redeem us. And so we are up to date here in the passage in the end of chapter 2. We had the chapter 2 ending on a happy note. Boaz has been good to Ruth, and Ruth is provided for. She has plenty of food to eat, but there's more to the story. Chapter 2 ends with Ruth going home, and she's living with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And a really happy ending would be something like this. And then Boaz meets Ruth, and they get married, and they live happily ever after. See, many of you are going to spend your Christmas season watching Hallmark Christmas movies, right? And you're going to watch these movies, and you're always anticipating the couple getting together. Now, as I talk about these Hallmark Christmas movies, keep in mind, I've never actually seen one, right? I never watched one of these. But as you watch these movies, what I'm told is there's often like a twist in the plot. And something happens where this man and this woman, they get together. And so we're going to see something similar in today's passage. And so if you have your Bible, turn to Ruth 3, and we're going to begin with verses 1 through 9. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman, and with whose maids you were? Behold, he winnows barley in the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. It shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do." She said to her, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. It happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." Again, we see how this could make into a great Hallmark Christmas movie. The story of Ruth has everything that a good romantic movie should have. You know, the plot line, the man and the woman, they're friends, and they're perfect for each other. They just need to fall in love, and for whatever reason, they're just not quite there yet. And so sometimes in these movies, it takes a crazy twist in the plot to get them there. And in chapter 3, we see something similar to this. We see in chapter 3 that Ruth and Naomi are in a desperate situation. See, Boaz has promised Ruth that she could glean in the fields. And so for 7 weeks, she has been there working in the fields, and it's getting close to the end of the harvest. And then when the harvest is done, Ruth and Boaz are going to go their separate ways. God has provided some food for Ruth and Naomi, and they're grateful that the needs have been met. But there's a greater need. Ruth needs to marry. She needs to be married. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the importance of marriage and having children in this culture, that a woman needed to have these children so that they could carry on the family name, and that she needed to have a child so that there was someone to take care of them in their older age. And none of this has happened yet, and there's this desperate situation, and Naomi sees this desperate situation, and she takes desperate measures, and she comes up with this shocking plan. And I don't notice that plan as we read through it, this desperate plan that she has. She says, okay, here's what you're going to do, Ruth. You're going to go to Boaz alone in the middle of the night, and you're going to lie down at his feet, and then you're going to suffer whatever consequences there are. This is desperate. You know, in this culture, this is reckless. This is a scandalous plan, but Naomi's situation is so desperate that she's willing to risk everything so that Ruth and Boaz might finally come together as husband and wife. It says in this passage that Boaz is a kinsman. He's a close relative to Naomi's deceased husband. And so there's a long shot that he might be willing to fulfill this role of a kinsman redeemer. The kinsman redeemer, it's an Old Testament concept here. The kinsman redeemer was a close relative who was responsible to help a family member out in their time of need. If there was a family member who was poor and had to sell off their land, it was the kinsman redeemer who would buy the land back for them. The kinsman redeemer was also responsible to buy back any family member that was sold into slavery. If there was a killing that happened, the kinsman redeemer's responsibility to avenge an unlawful killing. If a woman was left widowed and there was no children, according to the custom, it was the husband's brother who was supposed to come and then take her as a wife and had the responsibility of having children with her. And if there was no brother to take place here, it was the kinsman redeemer who would marry the woman and have children with her, and thus keeping the family lineage going. And I know as I share this all seems kind of strange and crazy to us, but this was the custom of the day. And so Naomi is hoping that Boaz will fulfill this role of a kinsman redeemer by marrying Ruth. And so she has Ruth prepare herself. She says, go, wash yourself, put on your best perfume, put on your nicest clothes, and go to the threshing floor. And so after a long day of harvesting and a good meal, Boaz, he lies down for the night on the threshing floor. He's at the end of his grain. He's guarding his grain, and Ruth comes, and she goes to his feet, and she uncovers his feet, and she lies down, and she waits. In the middle of the night, Boaz is startled, and something awakens him, and he looks, and there's this woman lying at his feet. And he inquires, he says, who are you? And she says, I am Ruth, your maid. Spread your covering over me. You are a close relative. Spreading a cover garment over a woman, this was a pledge for marriage. And so basically what happened here is Ruth just proposed to Boaz. All right, this is what happens. Ruth identifies herself, and then she boldly asks Boaz to fulfill the role of a kinsman redeemer by spreading the corner of the garments over her proposing marriage. Ruth is in a real vulnerable position here. Boaz could respond in a number of ways. If he were a dishonorable man, he could have taken advantage of Ruth right there on the threshing floor. He could have claimed that Ruth came and seduced him in the middle of the night. There were other harvesters that were sleeping at different places, and he could have made a public display, and he could have put Ruth out there, exposing her to public disgrace and severe punishment. He could have done any of these things. So when Ruth and Naomi, when they come up with this plan, it was a desperate plan. Ruth risks everything here. By visiting Boaz in the middle of the night, by proposing marriage, she has thrown herself completely on the mercy of Boaz as a righteous person. And so how would Boaz respond? In verse 10, we pick up the narrative. And he said, may you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask. For all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence. Now, it is true I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Remain this night. And when morning comes, if he will redeem you, good, let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning and rose before one could recognize another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came to the threshing floor. Again he said, give me the cloak that is on you and hold it. So she held it, and he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how did it go, my daughter? For she told her all that the man had done for her. She said, these 6 measures of barley he gave me, for he said, do not go to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Then she said, wait, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he has settled it today. So we see Boaz, a good man, responding with mercy and righteousness and love. He realizes that Ruth has taken this great risk by coming to him in the middle of the night, and he's touched and that she would seek him as a husband. And so he speaks kindly to her and promises her that he will do all that she asks. But there's just one hitch. And as you watch those Hallmark movies, right, there's always some hitch. There's a plot light there, and you got those little difficult circumstances that comes up. And here, Boaz says, so there's, I'm a kinsman, but there's one closer than me. And this man has the first right of redemption. And so Boaz says, I need to go to him and I need to talk to him. And I need to approach him first and see if he's willing to redeem you. Boaz doesn't want Ruth to wander home in the middle of the night. So he says, stay here and sleep on the threshing floor until morning. And at this point, I want you to see that Boaz, he has no real obligation to Ruth. There's no legal obligation that he has whatsoever. And what Boaz is telling her, he says, look, I'm not legally responsible to do anything. Some other man has that obligation, but I love you, and I'm going to get this worked out. And if you don't believe that Boaz is marrying Ruth out of love, then you're missing the whole point of the story. This is a love story. This story is Boaz, and Boaz is like Jesus, and Ruth is like us. You see, Jesus offers us redemption, not because he's obligated to, but because he loves us. And we get this picture of the relationship that Jesus has with us in this story. And so when Boaz, he continues to show this love to Ruth and protection, and he makes her go out, and he says, before anyone recognizes her, and he says, if anyone does, not to say anything about her coming out. And he gives her these 6 measures of barley to bring back to Naomi as a token of faith. And imagine Naomi, she's up all night waiting to find out what happened. And so Ruth walks in, and you can see Naomi. She says, you know, how did it go? What happened? Tell me everything. And so Ruth tells her everything that Boaz has done. Naomi left Bethlehem full. She went to Moab with a husband and sons, and she returned to Bethlehem with nothing. And now God, through Boaz, is assuring her that she will not remain empty. Naomi and Ruth risking everything in going to Boaz. But Boaz's loving response was exactly the answer that they were looking for in this desperate situation. But what about the cost? You have this other kinsman, this other person. And what about the cost? Is the cost of redeeming Ruth worth it? In chapter 4, we continue the narrative. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, a close relative of whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he said, turn aside, friend, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. Then he said to the closest relative, Naomi, who has come back from the land of Moab, has to sell the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here, and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if not, tell me that I may know. There is none, no one but you to redeem it, and I am after you. And he said, I will redeem it. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on her inheritance. The close relatives said, I cannot redeem it for myself, because I would jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself. You may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the custom in the former times in Israel concerning the redemption of the exchange of land to confirm any matter. A man must remove his sandal and gave it to another, and this was the manner of attestation in Israel. So the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself, and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders of the people, you are witnesses today that I bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Moreover, I have acquired Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife in order to raise up the name of the deceased of the inheritance, so that the name of the deceased shall not be cut off from the brothers or from the court in the birthplace. You are witnesses today. In the beginning of this chapter, we see the redemption of Ruth and Naomi. And it's here that we see the cost involved. This was a costly redemption that would have great sacrifice on Boaz's part, as evidenced by the reaction of the closer redeemer. Boaz meets the other redeemer in town along the gate, and the town elders are there, and he calls them together in the town gate. This is where transactions take place, kind of like a city hall, and the elders would serve as legal witnesses here. And Boaz tells the kinsman redeemer, he says, that Naomi has this land, and you should buy it here and now if you're interested, because I'm next in line. And notice Boaz doesn't say anything about Ruth yet. Right, he's being a little sneaky here, and he's not getting to the point. Boaz does want to marry Ruth, but he first needs to establish before the elders the near relative will fulfill his role as kinsman redeemer. And so he just mentions the land first, and the kinsman redeemer says, I'm going to buy it. He says, this land, it belongs to Naomi, is Elimelech's land. And so if you are the first one in line, do you want to buy it? And of course the guy says, yeah, more land? Absolutely, I will take it. I'm going to fulfill that role. I'll take the land. And then Boaz says, wait a minute. There's one more little piece of information that you need to know. See, when Naomi's husband died, the property then passed on to her sons. And if the man really wants to fulfill the role of kinsman redeemer, he also has to marry Ruth, the Moabitess. And notice how Boaz stresses where Ruth is from. Right? You need to marry Ruth, and Ruth, this pretty young lady. Oh, by the way, she's also from our hated people, the Moabites. She's from Moab, and now this is a different story entirely. This man, he says, I don't want to marry that Moabite woman. I don't want to do that. And he says, and if I do that, I could endanger my whole estate. See, if Ruth would have had a son, then that son would be part of Naomi's family. And if something were to happen to this redeemer, if something happened to his sons, then everything that he owned would then go to the son of Ruth. And so he's risking, he says, my entire estate if I do that. He says, I'm not going to pay the price. It's not worth it to me to do that. You go ahead and you redeem it yourself. I'm not going to. In the legal custom of the day, they take off the sandal and they make this exchange. By removing his sandal, he forfeited his right as a kinsman redeemer. And that right then passes on to Boaz, and he wastes no time enforcing it. A costly redemption. So costly that the closer redeemer backs out and says, I'm not going to do it. But see, there was a difference. Boaz loved Ruth. He didn't mind marrying a Moabitess, and he was willing to pay whatever price there was because he loved her. Remember, the book of Ruth is a love story. It is a story of this kinsman redeemer who redeemed his beloved from a desperate situation at a great cost to himself. And now back to the Christmas story. The Christmas story is a love story. This Christmas story that we're celebrating this time of year, it's a love story. It is a story about a kinsman redeemer who redeemed his beloved from a desperate situation at great cost to himself. See, the Christmas story is about us in a desperate situation. It's about us, where Romans 3:23 says that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, we are cut off from God because of our sin. We are deserving of eternal punishment. We are in a desperate situation, and we are desperately in need of a Savior. See, this is why when the angel came and he spoke to Joseph and he said that she will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The story of Boaz and Ruth is a beautiful love story, and it resembles an even more beautiful love story. The story of how much Jesus loves you and how much Jesus loves me. Because like Ruth, we need to come to Jesus asking, will you be my Redeemer? And like Boaz, Jesus is willing to pay the price to redeem us. He's willing to take us on as his bride. Not because he's obligated to. Not because he has to. He does it because of his mercy and his grace and his love for us. And it was a costly redemption. With his own blood, he paid the price. God's loving response. In Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's loving response to what we need is what we celebrate at Christmas. God sent his son Jesus. Eternal God the Son was born into the world as a human being, as our kinsman redeemer. Now think about the cost that Jesus paid to come be our redeemer. In Mark 10:45, it says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, the kinsman, the early kinsman redeemer, the one that was closest, he was worried about what it would cost him. He was worried about endangering his estate. But we have God himself. Jesus left his estate out of heaven and came and was born as a baby. Born as a baby, taking on human flesh, fully God, fully man. He left everything to come and be born. Now think about this. God himself, born in a manger, relying on Mary and Joseph to take care of him and to raise him. All the glories he gave up. And he entered a world as a human being. And then he's on this earth, he deals with all the things that we deal with. All the pain that we deal with, all the emotions that we deal with, he deals with all of those things. He's tempted by sin. He goes to a place where he goes to a cross, and it says that he is forsaken by the Father, and then he gives his own life as a ransom for many. It was a costly redemption. Jesus, our kinsman redeemer. But our redemption isn't automatic. We have to come to Christ for salvation. See, just as Ruth recognized her own desperate situation, and she came to Boaz completely at his mercy, we need to recognize our desperate situation. We need to recognize who we are as sinners, and we need to come before the Father seeking his mercy and accepting his love. And just as Boaz responded lovingly to Ruth, and he did not cast her away, if we come to the Father, he will never cast us away. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. See, the Christmas is the story of this kinsman redeemer who redeemed his beloved at great cost to himself. He paid the debt that none of us could pay. As we are celebrating Christmas, let's be reminded of the importance of the Christmas season. See, it's really easy for us to get caught up in all the things that happen around Christmas time. We have to get all the gifts bought and the house is decorated and we get all the programs and all these things to do. And we as Christians will say, Jesus is the reason for the season, because that's a nice thing to say. But sometimes in our busyness, we really forget what that means to worship Jesus during the season. Sometimes I think we forget that even though we're talking this beautiful story about a baby born in a manger, this is about God himself paying a price for us. To contemplate and to remember what God has done for us. To take some time and maybe to spend time just being thankful for this Redeemer who paid the price for us. And if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you need to know there's a God who loves you. And that apart from the redemption of God, apart from receiving this forgiveness of sin, that we're going to spend eternity apart from Him. But He loves you and He paid a price. Let me invite you this morning to respond to that, to commit your life to Him, like Ruth going to Boaz, and throw yourself at the mercy of God, and God won't turn you away.